But we were both rejoicing. Just see our connection. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj traveled all over the world. His enthusiasm, his determination, and his compassion was unlimited. Wherever he went, he would mesmerize devotees' hearts. He would melt their hearts. He was so personal in his concern for everyone. Because he came from a minority family and he was persecuted his whole youth, he had a very soft heart and sympathy for any devotee who was being mistreated. He had this nature where he never judged anyone. He was everyone's well-wisher and friend, whatever their condition. And with this spirit, he traveled around the world preaching the pure message of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada. His kirtans were famous throughout the 14 worlds. There was no one who danced like him. He could dance hour after hour after hour after hour. He was in his late 40s and then in his 50s. And still, he would never stop. He had such a spontaneous taste for the holy name. I remember when he was a brahmachari. Devotees used to come and tell me at New Vrindavan that there is this brahmachari named Ghanasham. We've never seen anyone chant japa like him. He'll just sit right in front of Prabhupada, intensely chanting the holy name with such intensity. He really was addicted to the holy name. He never missed his rounds his whole life after took initiation. If he had to stay up all night, if he had to do anything, but never would he give up his vow of chanting. And for him, minimum 20 rounds a day, but usually 42. His sadhana was so deep and so powerful, so exemplary. His kirtans were with so much enthusiasm. I remember one year he came to Radha Gopinath temple and he led Mangal Arati, and before they even lit the incense, everyone was dancing in ecstasy. Do you remember that? And they didn't stop dancing. And after the conch shell blew, they're still dancing. Running all over the temple, running back and forth in circles everywhere for Mangal Arati. He was simply spontaneously intoxicated with the holy name. And he would play that drum with that stick you have seen. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Sometimes his disciples talk to me and I say, Prabhu, you have to talk louder because I've been at so many kirtans with your guru's drum that I... Yes. In Mayapur Dham, during the GBC meetings, he was one of the highlights of the whole world's hearts, is to participate in Bhakti Tirtha Swami's dancing kirtans. And his lectures, so brilliant, so to the point, always relevant to devotees' lives. He didn't just speak theory. He spoke the pure Siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in a way that really is what devotees needed to hear, according to their problems, according to their consciousness, according to their struggles, according to their inspirations. It was unbelievable. He was such an inspirational speaker. I believe the most powerful speaker of ISKCON. He would just get so absorbed in what he was saying. I'll give you one example. During the international festival in Mayapur, he was giving a lecture the last day of the GBC meetings over 1,000 devotees all over the world assembled in the Panchatattva temple. And Maharaj was speaking. And he was speaking about dedication to Srila Prabhupada, loyalty to ISKCON, surrender to Krishna. And he was speaking with such power. His voice was just tumultuously echoing in all directions. His body was just expressing his heart's compassion and devotion. And it became just to such a summit that at a certain point in his lecture, devotees were just at the edge of their seats. And all of a sudden, his watch flew off his wrist. His coat flew off his body, and his hat just flew into the air. And these sannyasis sitting next to me looked at me and went, "Wow, I've never seen anything like this." Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj Ki. He was enthusiastic, determined, and convinced. His lectures transformed people's hearts. He wrote over 20 books that were published. And these books, he wrote them in such a way, many of them were not just for devotee audience, but for the general population, targeting at people who could be very potentially very receptive to Krishna consciousness. He wrote books focused on the problem of sex passions, the problem of terrorism, the problem of war, the problem of suicide, the problem of poverty, the problem of mental disease and depression. Things that are relevant to people's lives all over the world. He was addressing them from a spiritual perspective and giving people Krishna consciousness. An intelligent class of people all over the world. His books have been translated in how many languages? Probably about 20 or 30 languages in the world. I don't know. I think 20 languages. And people who would otherwise never come near an institution of religion, what to speak of a religion like the Hare Krishna movement in the West, were reading his books, opening their hearts. Their hearts were transforming, and many people were becoming devotees, either directly or indirectly. Amazing. And he was doing something that practically, besides Jamuna Mataji, I don't know anybody else who has Jamuna Prabhu's cookbook was the number one cookbook in the whole world. And she was going on tours of the world signing and giving lectures on cookbooks in bookstores. Besides Jamuna Prabhu, I think Bhakti Tirtha Swami is the only other person who had this incredible, empowered opportunity. With many of the books that he wrote, he was going on tours throughout America in the major established bookstores, giving seminars and signing his books and being promoted by the book publishing companies. And while he was doing that, according to his writings, according to his incredible connections with people in high places, wherever he went in the world, whether it was Russia or Africa or America or South America or Australia or Europe, he was on television stations, he was on radios, he was in the media. He was just such a fascinating, incredible person. He was giving seminars to devotees all over the world. They were the most popular seminars. He would usually give seminars on subjects that he really felt the devotees needed to hear to be happy and stable in Krishna consciousness. I remember just a couple years ago in Divnomorsk, Russia, the festival, there was 4 to 5 seminars going on simultaneously. And most all the major leaders of ISKCON from all the world were there giving seminars, but by far his was the most popular. In his seminar, he had at least 3,000 Russian devotees sitting in rapt attention for 2 hours at a time every day. He was on the main morning television show in Russia, in Ukraine, in Latvia, and so many other countries, meeting with big, big, powerful people. He was doing a type of preaching that no one else in the world within the Krishna consciousness movement could do. Why? What was the source of his empowerment? Every day he was writing his diary, praying to Prabhupada. Natanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajakadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohoi takitvai. This was his spirit. I do not want money. I do not want sex. I do not want wealth. I do not want fame. I do not want liberation. I only want to serve you. I only want to serve Srila Prabhupada by expanding his glorious mission of compassion. Because he begged for service, he was given such extraordinary service. Empowered. A few years ago, I was in Gita Nagari with him. At that time, we got the news that one devotee had committed suicide. Forgive me if I'm speaking something improper, but it does show the nature of his compassion. The devotees couldn't understand why this initiated devotee would do such a thing. It was a mystery. What happened is the sister of this devotee, she understood the open-hearted, compassionate nature of Bhakti Tirtha Swami. She opened up to him and she sent a message to Bhakti Tirtha Swami that my brother, just a few days before he took his life, wrote to me and told me that he's homosexual. But he was a devotee. And the Krishna conscious philosophy does not accept illicit sex, and homosexual sex can only be illicit. So he didn't see how he could fit in the society, but at the same time he didn't see how he could leave the society because he firmly believed in Krishna. So he decided to take his life. Nobody even knew what was in his mind. He kept it all secret. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and I had a very deep and long discussion when he received this message from the sister. He was so deeply concerned. He said, "We don't accept homosexuality. It's not acceptable in our culture or philosophy." But Prabhupada says you hate the disease, not the diseased. The problem is if these people are not respected, if they're condemned, then either they're going to leave Krishna consciousness altogether and never get purified, or they're going to do what this person has done, which is the absolute worst thing. He's saying whatever a person's sins may be, whatever a person's nature may be, we may not accept that, but they should be encouraged and respected as human beings, Vaishnavas, and given the chance to be Krishna conscious. And he was just struggling in his mind how to do this, how to make this balance. And there were some people, even leaders of ISKCON, who very much criticized him. Not high leaders, but somewhat, who criticized him. He's sympathetic toward this type of irreligious activity. But they didn't understand at all his spirit, his heart. He was simply compassionate to the spirit's souls. Whatever a person's habits, whatever a person's nature, whatever a certain's problems, if we want to elevate them, they have to be encouraged to go on being Krishna conscious. This was the nature of his compassion. And he actually really tried to, in many cases, people with that and different types of problems, drug addicts, alcoholics, homosexuals, people with all kinds of different habits and natures and problems, they were coming to Bhakti Tirtha Swami. He didn't encourage them to do what they were doing, but he showed them love and respect and wanted to help them to overcome their problems, overcome their nature and become Krishna conscious. And he became a shelter for so many people like that. That was just his nature. To be loving, compassionate, and respectful to every living being. Maharaj gave shelter to so many people. The African people, especially in some places, are still considered minorities and not treated proper respect. Thousands of African people in Africa and all over the world. Prabhupada disciples, disciples of other gurus, and hundreds of his own disciples, they found shelter in him. They found a hero in him. They felt Krishna's love in him. Alienated devotees, many devotees who are Prabhupada's disciples who have been alienated from our mission, and other second generation devotees, I believe more than anyone else, their trust and their faith in Bhakti Tirtha Swami brought them closer and gave them shelter. Many Gurukulis, the Gurukulis are the young generation who were born in our movement and who went to the Gurukula. He gave so much of his time, so much of his energy, so much of his heart's love to help them, to inspire them, to respect them, encourage them, and to nourish them with pure bhakti. In fact, recently, I was at an assembly of people from the Gurukula, and they all together, they made a very beautiful statement. Shall I tell?
No!
They said, "We are from the Gurukul, and we know that Bhakti Tirtha Swami is a cool guru." We are from Gurukul, and we know that Maharaj is a cool guru. They loved him. Perhaps the most popular leader of ISKCON to the Gurukulis. Yes, we find in Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj the most transcendental story of rags to riches. Starting with nothing and not even a hope or a chance and becoming a world leader. This little black African boy in the ghettos of Cleveland from a broken home, didn't even have a father, hardly any clothes or food to eat, violent crimes all around him, stammering, couldn't even talk properly, people, even his own people, laughing at him and ridiculing him. What chance did that little boy in the ghettos of Cleveland have to succeeding in life? And some years later, author of 20 books, bookstore, darshans, television, international leaders, UN consultant, when I was at Gita Nagari, I saw devotees from South America, from North America. I saw devotees from Australia, from India, from every country, Italy, France, England, from Russia, from Africa, every continent in the world. There were devotees who were taking shelter of him, who were surrendering to him as the topmost inspiration of their lives. What an incredible story of success. And it all came about by his sincere prayers for devotional service. In 2004, he was at the peak of his career of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. He was at the summit of his career of affecting people's lives in such a deep way. He wrote a Vyas Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada. In that Vyas Puja offering, please do read it. He prayed to Prabhupada that I wish that I could say everything is so wonderful. But the fact is, as I travel around the world, I see there are many devotees who are struggling with bad habits of the past, many obstacles and anartas in their hearts, many bad habits. Many devotees in this world, they're not able to maintain spiritual standards and they're feeling very sorry. There's depression. He could not tolerate seeing devotees suffer. He was giving seminars. He was preaching. He was living. He was giving kirtans. He was personally counseling anybody that would come to him. That year, he traveled to 32 countries. It was a victorious tour. But he said, still, devotees need help. Therefore, he prayed to Srila Prabhupada, let me take the spirit of Vasudev Datta and let me suffer. And let my, if you so desire Prabhupada, if you so desire Krishna, let me suffer and let my suffering remove the obstacles so that devotees could have a happy life in Krishna consciousness and go back home, back to Godhead. He offered this prayer from his heart. Soon after, he was diagnosed with melanoma cancer. A cancer that, by clinical analysis, is not possible to cure. According to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vasudeva explains, and Prabhupada confirms, that it is the duty of a person to try to protect his life, because God has given us this body. It is our duty, according to the need, to try to sustain and maintain this body, especially when it's being utilized in such valuable service to Krishna. So he tried many cures. He went to Mexico, Arizona, Hawaii with various natural methods, allopathic methods. But ultimately, it was understood that it could not be cured. During the process, the doctors felt if he amputated one of his legs, that would remove the cancer. So he had a major surgery and amputated his leg. Can you imagine what a sacrifice that was? That most graceful, divine, dancing leg being cut by a surgeon's saw. But even after that, it had already spread throughout his body. Please listen carefully. He was such in a spirit of service. And a devotee sees everything as an opportunity to serve. He decided that to take this whole dying experience and share it with the world in a totally positive Krishna conscious spirit. And he wrote his last book, Die Before Dying. An amazing book. An amazing book that teaches his real, that where he shares his realizations and experiences of going through the transformations of death and dying in a perfectly Krishna conscious perspective. When he saw that he didn't have much time to go, many devotees were making arrangements for him to go to Vrindavan to leave his body. Other devotees were calling him to Mayapur to leave his body. Because to leave your body in the holy dham is considered supremely auspicious. But please hear, my brothers and sisters, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaja's faith in Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said that all of his centers were none different than Goloka Vrindavan. Because the selfless, unconditional service of Radha and Krishna is taking place there. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj wanted to spread the glories of Prabhupada's message even in his dying. He decided that he would leave his body in Gita Nagari. Why? Because he wanted to make a very strong statement to the world that wherever Prabhupada's centers are, because of Prabhupada's mercy, that is a holy dham. And that is a holy place fit to die and go back home, back to Godhead. In going to Gita Nagari, he was showing his faith, his love, and his intense desire to glorify the mercy of Srila Prabhupada's compassion. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj ki. He said, Srila Prabhupada came to Gita Nagari and made it a holy place. His lotus feet stood here. Therefore, for me, it is Vrindavan. Such a wonderful realization. This year, I returned to New Vrindavan in the month of May. From this part of the story, I'm going to share with you my own personal experiences in relation to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Many of these stories are very deeply personal to me. Some are too personal for me to speak. Do I have your permission? Without details, New Vrindavan was going through a very difficult transition in management, and it was very much affecting the community. There was certain blockages in communication, and for months, devotees were waiting for me to come back to help resolve it. It was a very critical issue, and I took it very seriously, as they did. So I returned to New Vrindavan, and there was a North American GBC and Temple President's leadership meeting where all the leaders of America come to New Vrindavan to discuss. That was for two days. And then after that, there was the Festival of Inspiration, where devotees from all over America come, where there's so many seminars and kirtans and lectures and dramas. It's the biggest festival of the year. And the whole time all these meetings and festivals were going on, I was just thinking, the undercurrent of tension in this community is so heavy. I just have to start these meetings to try to resolve it. And the devotees were very much putting pressure. We have to start these meetings. I said, the day after the festival's done, we'll have our meetings. It was very intense. It was crucial. Festival was going to be finished on Sunday night. I was scheduled Sunday afternoon to give the plenary session lecture to the whole festival group, to everyone who was participating. I spoke with Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj on the phone. Before coming to New Vrindavan, I visited him for 3 days. Then I went to Chicago, and then I came back to New Vrindavan. I spoke to him on the phone, and he told me that his health was really going down, and he believed that he would depart from this world within 2 or 3 days. And he told me, tomorrow I'm giving the Sunday feast lecture, and this will probably be the last talk I ever give in this life. So I decided I must be there for that lecture. So I approached Anuttama Prabhu, who was coordinating the whole festival. A very wonderful, loving God brother. I said, can you excuse me from giving my lecture so I can go to Gita Nagari? He said, give the morning session. I'll change you to the morning session for the plenary session, and then you could leave. In fact, I'm also going. So I gave the morning session and simply spoke about my love and appreciation for Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. And then I told everyone that he may not live for very long, so right now I'm going to Gita Nagari, and you'll be pleased to know that 200 devotees left the festival and drove to Gita Nagari. Right in the middle of the festival. It's a 5 to 6 hour drive. We got there, and he was giving his lecture in the lawn. Incredible lecture. I've never seen anything like this. What a master of compassion. He was speaking such profound philosophy, so deep, just cutting right to the core of everyone's heart. He had everyone weeping, and sometimes even he would be weeping. Everyone was weeping, and then he would start telling incredible, humorous jokes, and everyone would be roaring in laughter and weeping and laughing. Weeping and laughing simultaneously. We were all going mad. But it was very deep subject matter. Really touching people's hearts. And after he gave this brilliant speech, his caretakers lifted him up because he could not walk. He was very thin. And they put him on his wheelchair. And my plan was, right after his lecture, I was going back to Nubrindavan, get there real late at night, and next morning, the meetings that we were waiting for months. He sat on his wheelchair, and I came up to offer my obeisances. And with a very soft, loving voice, he said, "Maharaj, are you staying for a few days?" I said, "Maharaj, whatever pleases you, I will do." He said, "I will be very grateful if you stay for 2 or 3 days." I said, "I will stay." The next day I came to meet him, and Maharaj said to me, "When I pass away, I will be very grateful if you could come back to Gita Nagari and help with the last rites and give association to these devotees, because they will need shelter." I said, "Maharaj, I will come back." Meanwhile, the meeting at Nubrindavan was scheduled for 3 days later. The third day, I was going to ask leave of him. We had Krishna Katha. We were talking about Krishna and Vrindavan for about 2-3 hours. And then just before I was about to say, "I'm going back to Nubrindavan now," he looked at me. He had tears in his eyes, tears of such pure affection. With folded palms, he spoke so sweetly, "Maharaj, I want to die in your arms. Please stay with me." I said, "Maharaj, I'm here. As long as you're living in this body, I'm here with you. There's nothing else Prabhupada would want me to do." So I stayed with Maharaj. From that day on, devotees from Nubrindavan were coming to Gita Nagari to have meetings with me, and I was on the phone with them for hours and hours a day sometimes. And it was quite intense. But by Maharaj's love and kindness, he allowed me to remain. I'd like to tell you some of the things that I saw. After that festival of inspiration, probably 50 or 60 of Prabhupada's disciples came from Nubrindavan just to be with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. They all gathered in his room. I never saw anything like this. He was empowered to reach their hearts. Literally, everyone was just taking shelter of his lotus feet. People were just crying with love, with gratitude, with such reverence. And he was speaking with such affection, with such intelligence, and with such wonderful philosophy, just transforming his own God brothers and God sisters' hearts. He gave us all such deep encouragement. Nobody could leave. The caretaker said, "It's time to go," but nobody could leave. Even when he said, you know, his body was dying, but still he was giving of himself so much. And he couldn't bear for them to leave, and they couldn't bear to leave. It was such a beautiful exchange of love. On another day, some people I know very well, some were Prabhupada's disciples, some were Guru Kulis, people who were, many of them, totally brokenhearted and alienated. People who had not come to a lecture in ISKCON for years. People who wouldn't even go to a temple in ISKCON. I knew them. They were my friends. They still are my friends, but I understand the problems they were having. They had to come to see Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. The whole room was full of these types of people. It was magnificent. His heart just entered right into the core of their hearts. The super soul empowered him with the exact perfect words that they needed to hear. I could not believe what I was seeing. People who were cynical, people who were abrasive, their hearts were melting right before my eyes. He spoke to them for over 2 hours, and the entire time, tears were pouring from every single person's eyes. They gave their hearts to him. He captured their minds. He transformed them. And as they came out of the room, they were all just weeping and crying, saying, "I am transformed. I'll never be the same after that experience." And one of these boys, who's gone through a lot of hardships, he looked at me and said, "In my whole life, I have never seen anyone so close to God as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj." Maharaj arranged a whole feast of wonderful prasad for all of his guests when they would come in the living room outside of his room. It was impossible for people to even eat. They were in such an emotional state. I went back in the room. I said, "Maharaj, how did you do that?" I've been a devotee for about 35 years. I've seen a lot of things, but I've never seen anything like that. "Maharaj, I've known you for about 33 years. And I've seen you give dynamic lectures. I've seen you mesmerize people's minds. I've seen you change people's hearts. I've seen you convince people. But I've never seen you do anything like this. You have taken people who have been alienated and cynical, and you melted their hearts. You transformed them right before my eyes. Maharaj, this cannot be you speaking. You have become Prabhupada's puppet." And Maharaj looked at me very sincerely. And said, "Yes, I've never been able to affect people's lives like this before. Never. With all my prayers, with all my efforts, I've never been able to do this, to reach right into the core of people's hearts and transform them." He said, "It is not me. By Prabhupada's mercy, he's made me his puppet, and he's making me dance as he wishes for me to dance."
This is what I have always prayed for, to be an instrument of Prabhupada's mercy and transform people's hearts. My whole life as a devotee, I've prayed for this. And Krishna has fulfilled my prayer. He said, this disease is a great benediction. Because since I've gotten this disease, people are coming to me with such open and sympathetic hearts. And I'm speaking things that I do not even know. When I speak to these people, I don't even think about it. I don't even know what I'm saying. A voice is speaking through me, things that I don't even know. Maharaj then said something to me that changed my life. After he spoke these words, everything that seemed so inconceivable to me made sense. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj said that since I've had this cancer, in the last few months, I have affected people's lives in such a way that I could have never been able to do if I lived another 30 years. Therefore, this disease is the blessing and benediction of Prabhupada. Because I am not living to live. I am living to serve. And in this condition, I am doing a greater service quantitatively and qualitatively than I could have ever done if I lived a long life. Therefore, this disease is the answer to my prayer. And I would not trade my position for anyone else in the world because of the service I'm allowed to render. People wonder why such a great devotee could have possibly be put in such a painful condition of dying such a disease. But this was the positive attitude that Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj understood it. And he had complete faith. And whatever he said was perfectly true, and I could testify from what I saw before my eyes. Then Maharaj started explaining to me some of the ways he's helping people. He showed me letters and told me about one god sister who was downtrodden. Her life was ruined. She became an alcoholic. She stopped all sadhana and all association of devotees. But when she heard about Bhakti Tirtha Swami dying of cancer and read some of the things that she was saying, she wrote to him and said, it's changed my life. She asked him questions, asked him for shelter. He gave her guidance by email and by telephone. She gave up alcohol. She moved right next to a temple, started chanting her rounds, following her vows, and practicing Krishna consciousness, assisting Prabhupada's mission. People who have been away from years were coming to Bhakti Tirtha Swami to take shelter. People with all kinds of difficulties and problems. It was unbelievable. Yes, during those weeks, Maharaj was a puppet of Prabhupada, an instrument of Radharani's love. There is no doubt. He extended himself to everyone. His body was such a painful condition, it was heartbreaking to see. At one time, he just tried to lift a little briefcase and because cancer had eaten away his bones, his collarbone just cracked. He had a broken collarbone, an amputated leg, tumors all over his body, some of them so big you could see them. He had tumors in the knee of his good leg, tumors in his chest, tumors in his groins. He was becoming emaciated. It was so painful to see him in this situation. He was such an independent person who hated to have anyone serve him. And he was in a condition where he couldn't walk, he couldn't stand, he couldn't sit up without people helping him, lifting him. To go to the bathroom, he had to be lifted. And yet, even despite such difficulty, every Sunday he gave the Sunday feast lecture. And devotees from all over Gita Nagari, from Washington, D.C., from New York, from Detroit, from New Vrindavan, from Maryland, from New Jersey, people were coming all over just to hear Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj's Sunday feast lectures. And he would lead enthusiastic kirtans with Gopal Prabhu playing mridanga. And he would give dynamic lectures, empowered lectures, full of love, compassion. He was literally extending himself for everybody and anybody. He was giving his life to the Vaishnavas, expecting nothing in return. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, out of his kindness upon me, requested that I come every day to help him to always remember Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna, and their beautiful pastimes. So every day I came, and he considered this Sangam so sacred, he would not allow anyone else to be in the room with us. Even his personal caretakers would have to leave. And we would speak for 1 to 3 hours every day. One of our dear friends and God brothers remained for a long time during those 7.5 weeks at Gita Nagari. Many of you know him. His name is Mahamuni Prabhu. One day, a group of Prabhupada's disciples was meeting with His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. Maharaj was speaking so eloquently, right to the heart of each devotee. Mahamuni was so deeply moved by Bhakti Tirtha Swami's compassion and his profound words of wisdom that he was incessantly weeping tears. After the dialogue with all of the devotees completed, Maharaj very affectionately turned to Mahamuni Prabhu. He said, "When I was a new devotee, Mahamuni Prabhu," he said, "I served under you for some time, and you were such a strict authority on everyone who was working under you." He said, "I remember how difficult it was due to your strictness." Mahamuni Prabhu was an American soldier. And in the Vietnam War, he commanded a whole division in the front lines of battle. So he did have that military training. And he could be quite strict. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, Mahamuni, someday I'm going to get even with you. And then Maharaj very lovingly, very, very affectionately, he made a fist. He said, Mahamuni Prabhu, I'm going to punch you in the jaw. And Mahamuni Prabhu said, please, Maharaj, please punch me. And Maharaj was laughing. He was laughing, very sweet. He said, Mahamuni Prabhu, I want to punch you in the jaw. Someday, I am going to punch you in the jaw. Mahamuni said, please, do it, do it. And they laughed. Very soon after this, I went to beat Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. And when I came out of his room, I was scheduled to give a lecture at the Radha Damodar Temple of Gita Nagari that evening. So I was just about to leave. And one of Maharaj's disciples, her name Agnihotra Mataji, from Cleveland, Ohio, she said to me that on my Gurudev's request, today I have made special prasad. It is genuine soul food. And she started telling me the whole menu. Collard greens. And one preparation, she said, was barbecued curd steaks with hickory sauce. She said, would you like some? I said, how can I refuse barbecued curd steaks with hickory sauce? I never had anything like that. It's definitely soul food. So I said, but I don't want to have it until Maharaj takes it, and it is his Maha Prasad. So then they brought the plate into Maharaj, and I went to give lecture, and someone came and delivered to me in nice containers all the different preparations. So Mahamuni Prabhu was at the lecture, and we were staying in the same house together, at the house of my very dear godbrother and godsister, Yadu Nandan Prabhu and Taruni Mataji. So as we're driving back, Mahamuni Prabhu is noticing a very exotic fragrance. I said, do you know what that is? He said, what? I said, it's soul food. I said, it's Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj's Maha Prasad. And today we will eat it. Now we got back about 11 o'clock at night. I served it out. And we ate little. We both had just a little. Especially we liked the barbecued curd steaks and hickory sauce. Now we took rest. We were sharing the same room. The next morning I got up because I was supposed to give class, Srimad Bhagavatam class. And when I woke up, I saw Mahamuni Prabhu. His eyes were bloodshot. He was holding his jaw and he was groaning in pain. I said, Maharaj, what happened? He said, I didn't sleep all night. I said, why? He said, because of intense, unbearable pain. I said, well, what happened? He said, Maharaj did it to me. I said, what do you mean? He said, he hit me in the jaw through his Maha Prasad. The hickory sauce somehow or other dripped in under his bridges and his teeth and made his whole jaw and mouth swollen in excruciating pain. And he said, Maharaj did it. He promised me he would punch me in the jaw. And through his prasad, he punched me right in the jaw. He was in pain for several weeks. Now the next day, that morning, I told a story to all the devotees at Gitanagari during Srimad Bhagavatam class, and they were really pleased to hear it. Mahamuni Prabhu didn't go to class because he was in too much pain, but the next time he went out, everyone was asking, Mahamuni Prabhu, how was your jaw? And he said, how did you know? He said, there was a whole Srimad Bhagavatam class about this. So the next day I told the whole story to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and he was laughing so much, he said, yes. And Mahamuni Prabhu came in the next day, and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had his fist out. He said, how did it feel, Mahamuni Prabhu? How did it feel? So we read about the power of prasad. But more important than prasad, more powerful than prasad, is mahaprasad. The prasad that is directly from the plates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on the altar. But even more powerful than mahaprasad is maha-maha-prasad, which is that mahaprasad that is from the plates of a devotee. Maha-maha-prasad has been glorified by greatest of acharyas. Haridas Thakur, that was his prayer. During Mahaprakash Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas, take any benediction and I will give it. What would you like? Thakur Haridas replied that I do not want anything. I am satisfied simply being the servant of the servant of your servants. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I insist, ask for something. Haridas Thakur said, there is one desire in my heart that you could fulfill. In every birth that I may take, give me the benediction that I will always receive the foodstuffs that has been left behind on the plates of your devotees. Maha, maha, prasad. Let that benediction be mine. Even if I be a dog or an insect near the house of a devotee, I will be grateful to receive the remnants of your devotee's food. Haridas became very embarrassed. He said, actually, I have no right. I am so fallen. Who am I to ask for such an exalted benediction? I am so fallen that I'm always longing to be seen as an important person. That is my shameless condition. Please, just grant me this benediction, that I may always worship within my heart the Maha Maha Prasad, the food remnants that has fallen from the mouth of your devotees. And in this way, allow me to always be the servant of the servant of your servants. Prasad means mercy. On this wonderful, humorous occasion, we were laughing and joking for many days, especially Mahamuni. And every time he laughed, it increased the pain of his jaw, but still he couldn't stop laughing. Prasad means mercy, and he felt himself that he received an extraordinary
act of mercy from His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj Ki. Shall I continue? Each day, we would meet for approximately 1 to 3 hours in the solitude of one another's association. I asked him, what would you like me to speak on, or what would you like to discuss? He said, whatever you think is most appropriate. But he especially wanted to focus his mind on Vrindavan. So we began our discussion. With the narration of Srila Madhavendra Puri, his surrender to Krishna, and the wonderful way in which he departed from the world. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes how when Madhavendra Puri, the greatest of all Vaishnavas, the Param Guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he was leaving the world, again and again he recited a particular verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that this is crestual of verses. As sandalwood or chandan increases its fragrance as we rub it, similarly, realization of devotional mellows increase as we contemplate this verse. As Kostubamani is the most precious of all jewels, this verse is the crest jewel of mellow prayers. And then it is explained by Kaviraj Goswami that there are only three people who could understand the inner meaning of this prayer in full. One is Srimati Radharani. The other is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna with the Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani. Third is Madhavendra Puri. That is Madhavendra Puri's exalted position. By his example, he taught all of us the perfection of leaving one's body. In the spirit of love in separation. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to this prayer that for the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, there is no higher experience, no greater goal than love in separation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Krishna. He was in the mood of Srimati Radharani after Krishna left for Mathura, at the time when Uddhava came back to give message. This was the spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love. And the origin, the seed of that love within this world was Madhavendra Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was explaining the glories of Madhavendra Puri, he was doing it as if he had many, many mouths.
And when he began to chant this particular prayer, the last prayer of Madhavendra Puri, he was so choked up and emotional, he could only get a couple syllables out. And he was dancing and crying, hair standing on end, limbs trembling, running, dancing, so much inspired by the power of this prayer. So after discussing at great length for several hours the nature of Madhavendra Puri's love, together we recited this prayer. And from that day on, every meeting we had for the next almost 8 weeks, we would begin our meetings and end our meetings by reciting this prayer over and over again. Would you like to recite this prayer?
No!
This is the mood of Srimati Radharani feeling that separation from Krishna, which is the ultimate experience. And it was Madhavendra Puri's feelings of separation. It was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation. It was Prabhupada's feelings of separation on Jaladuta. And it is the perfect prayer to meditate upon when leaving this world. Usually Maharaj was laying in his bed and I was sitting by his side holding his hand throughout our discussions. And it was in this mood that we would recite the prayer. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, although he was such a powerful, super intelligent general, when we would have our talks together, he was like an innocent child, like a beautiful, sweet little cowherd boy. It was the most beautiful, sweet experience to be with him. So humble, so simple. He would just open his eyes and very submissively repeat the prayer of Madhavendra Puri. I would say one phrase and he would repeat. I would say one phrase and he would repeat. So you may repeat. Folded palms, please. Oh, my Lord.
O
most merciful Master.
O Master of Mathura.
When shall I see you again?
Because of my not seeing you,
my agitated heart has become unsteady.
O
most beloved one,
what shall I do now?
O my Lord, as he said, O my Lord, his eyes would just be like an innocent child, just trying to perfectly pronounce from the core of his heart.
O most merciful Master,
when he would say that, he started getting choked up.
O Master of Mathura,
as he said this phrase, Maharaj would start trembling.
When shall I see you again?
As he said this, tears profusely poured from his eyes. And with a choked up voice, he had to struggle to say that, his whole body trembling. When shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you.
Because of my not seeing you.
In this way, his absorption in this verse just increased. My agitated heart has become unsteady. I was reciting it, but he was living it. As I was saying it, I could see by the symptoms of his voice, his eyes, and his body that he had realized this verse. O most beloved one,
O most beloved one,
what shall I do now? The genuine emotions, feelings, and realizations in which he would chant this verse was with such innocence, such simplicity, and such deep feeling that I felt so fortunate. It was as if I was sitting with Madhavendra Puri when he was chanting that verse. I certainly was sitting with his dear representative. He loved that sloka so much that Maharaj called it our theme song. And every day for the next 8 weeks, when it would come to the end of our discussion on Vrindavan Katha, Radha Krishna, Govardhan, the story of Prabhupada, so many beautiful stories, mostly about Vrindavan. And it was so deep how we discussed. Things were coming from both of our mouths that were just beyond our own realizations. But then, when it was time to end, he would say, Maharaj, let us sing our theme song. And he would go through those incredible emotional, spiritual transformations. And then every day at the beginning and end of our talk, Maharaj, with tears in his eyes, would fold his palms and say, I am your obedient. And I would reply, Maharaj, I am your obedient. And then we would both laugh, remembering Ganesham Baba and Prabhupada's mercy, and then we would part till the next day. Maharaj was such an ocean of gratitude. I could see everybody and anybody that would come, he would just show such deep appreciation for them. He was so encouraging. And how much he encouraged me. And whatever he spoke was really from his heart. Almost every day, he would thank me for being with him. So many exchanges like this that literally conquered my heart forever. Exchanges such as the one I'm about to share with you. Maharaj would be so tender and kind, and he'd say, Maharaj, I'm so grateful to you for being here with me. I know you're one of the most busy persons in all of ISKCON. You're on demand all over the world. There's so many problems and demands at New Vrindavan and other places. And you've completely negated your entire schedule just to be with me. He said, it's amazing. It's amazing that you are giving such kindness And then he would start to cry. And his voice would choke. He said, "Maharaj, I really believe that Srila Prabhupada has sent you out of his causeless mercy to be with me at this time. In fact, I feel Prabhupada's presence sitting right next to me in your association." I didn't deserve any of these words. I told Maharaj that it's not like that. It's the greatest honor of my life to be here with you. I'm eternally indebted to you. Of all the people in the world, you selected this little insignificant fallen god brother to be with you and have these most beautiful exchanges with you. Maharaj, it is an honor. And I can tell you that I know without a trace of a doubt that there is nothing in the 14 worlds that I can do to please Srila Prabhupada more than being here in your service. When I said that, Maharaj broke down crying. And he smiled. And he said, "Amazing. Amazing." He said, "What it's so amazing is what you said. I know you really mean it." One day we were discussing the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And all of a sudden, Maharaj went into ecstasy. He just cried out, "We are there! We are there, Maharaj! We are there!" And I said, "Maharaj, where are we?" He said, "We are there." Now please understand, he has one leg. He's under all kinds of pain management because melanoma cancer is severe pain. The hospice doctors and nurses that were coming were telling that this man is in such excruciating pain you can't even believe it. And he didn't want many painkillers because he wanted to be in focused consciousness on Krishna. He was in a lot of pain. He had any little time he wanted to move, two people had to move him. So difficult. But yet he became ecstatic. He said, "We're there, Maharaj, we're there." I said, "Where are we, Maharaj, where?" He said, "We're there." He said, "We are living Chaitanya Charitamrita." He said, "This is not just talking Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy." And he was speaking with great enthusiasm. He was very weak, but his voice just became tumultuous. He said, "By Prabhupada's mercy, we have literally entered into the eternal pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." He said, "What is Chaitanya Charitamrita?" Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees discussing Krishna with one another. Chaitanya Charitamrita is about devotees developing the sweetest, most intimate love for one another, discussing Krishna together. By Prabhupada's mercy, we're there. We have entered into the eternal pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he just shook, nodded his head back and forth. And tears started pouring out of his eyes, and he smiled a gigantic, effulgent smile. And again he said, "Amazing, amazing, wonderful, wonderful. And then he just looked at me like a little cowherd boy, such innocent glance, absolutely no duplicity, just affection and love glazing his eyes. He said, "Maharaj, I would not trade the position I'm in today for anything else or anyone else in the entire world. This is the greatest benediction." And then he said, "I am so grateful." That was his transcendental state of Krishna consciousness. Lord Narasingadev's appearance day was approaching. And Maharaj really wanted to leave his body on that day. He thought it would be really inspiring, because he worshipped Lord Narasingadev. For years he had a cane with Lord Narasingadev carved in. His personal deities, he had beautiful deities of Radha Shyam Sundar and Lord Narasingadev delivering Hiranyakashipu. Because he was a fearless sannyasi. So he told me on several occasions that wouldn't it be auspicious if I give up my body on Lord Narasingha's appearance day? Especially in front of the deities. I said, "Maharaj, Krishna's going to take you whenever Prabhupada calls for you." There was a festival at the temple. Many, many devotees from all around came. And he was getting in his car to give the lecture. And as they were carrying him, he was just smiling. And they brought him in the temple. And he was so gracious, he always had any sannyasi gets sitting on chairs next to him. And he leaned over to me. We're right in front of the deities of Radha Damodar and all the assembled devotees and Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. And he smiled and he said, "Wouldn't it be glorious if I give up my life and Krishna takes me right now in front of the deities while I'm doing kirtan?" And then he started a kirtan. Nobody could believe that kirtan. He was so weak. He was so thin. He looked like he could pass out of his body in any second. He just led this intense kirtan. So loud, so enthusiastic, and he just kept going on and on and on and on and on. And I was just sitting next to him watching, and all along I was thinking, Maharaj is just determined to give up his body in this kirtan. He was just giving every ounce of energy in his life to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And he was chanting, Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham. And he chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted. And I could see that he was a little disappointed. So then he ended the kirtan after a long time. It was impossible for someone in that condition to lead a kirtan like that. And then he gave a fantastic lecture on Lord Narasingadev. Very special. So many people were coming to see him. One day Maharaj told me a story. He said that Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj appeared to him in a dream. He said it wasn't a dream, it was a vision. In this vision, Tamal Krishna Goswami told Bhakti Tirtha Swami that Prabhupada is calling for you. You must give up all your services in the world that you're living and you must come. Prabhupada is calling for you. He has another service for you in another place. And this was very special because during Prabhupada's life, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was so much the person that was between Prabhupada and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, especially in regard to those reports he was sending. Tamal Krishna Maharaj told him, Prabhupada is calling for you. You must come now. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj in the dream began to cry. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj asked, why are you crying? And with a choked voice, Tamal Krishna Maharaj replied, he said, because I know when Prabhupada called for me in the exact same way and I left to join him, I know how much pain my departure caused to my disciples, friends, and well-wishers. And I know that when you respond to Prabhupada's call, your friends, your disciples, and your followers are going to suffer the same pain that mine did. And I am crying for your disciples. But you must come. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj told me that he felt that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was going to come again and he couldn't leave until he came. Meanwhile, many people were coming to see Maharaj and he was just giving all his, he was giving everybody the chance to meet with him, and in his empowered way he was just transforming, enlightening, and melting people's hearts. And sometimes when senior godbrothers would come, the only time they had to meet with him was during our session of Krishna Katha. So many came. Trivikram Maharaj, Bhakti Marg Maharaj, Romapad Maharaj, Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj, Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj, Kirtan Ananda Maharaj, Satsarup Goswami Maharaj, Mahamuni Prabhu, Bhagavan Prabhu, who had been away for so many years. So many people. That is just a sample. And whenever they would come, he would just extend and give himself completely to encourage them, inspire them, and enlighten them. And one day, he said to me, he said, whenever there's other people in our katas together, it's a very different mood. I said, well, when it's just the two of us, we're simply talking about Vrindavan and Radha and Krishna. But whenever your godbrothers or godsisters come, you go into a preaching mode out of your compassion for them. And he said, I'm at the very end of my life. How much can I extend myself? Don't you think the very end of my life, I should totally absorb myself internally in Prabhupada and Radha and Krishna's leelas? I said, Maharaj, what you could do is just meet these people at another time. And then you don't have to enlighten them the way you do. They'll be happy just having your pranams. He said, let me think about it. He said, I want to absorb myself internally. Krishna is calling me. Prabhupada is calling me for this. The next Sunday lecture, I was quite astounded by what he spoke. He announced to all the devotees all over the world, because whatever he spoke by internet was going throughout the planet. He said this was going to be his last lecture. He was entering Nirjan Bhajan, which means secluded internal life of Bhajan. He said, I will not meet anyone anymore. No one will see me except my direct caretakers. I will no longer take any more phone calls. I will no longer look at or answer any more emails. He said, please know I've given my heart, my life, my soul to you. But this is the calling that I have. And he did that. From that day on, our Harikathas together became deeper and deeper and deeper. More sweet. And our relationship became so much more intimate. I learned so many beautiful lessons that yes, real love, the only real love in this world is when devotees with unconditional service attitude share Krishna with each other. There is nothing sweeter, there is nothing deeper, there is nothing more satisfying to the heart than that. Machchita madgata prana bodhyanta parasparam khatyantaschamam nityam tushyanti charamanticha. The thoughts of my devotees always dwell in me. They are surrendered to me. My devotees derive great satisfaction and bliss enlightening one another and conversing about me. That's what Chaitanya Charitamrita is about. Lord Chaitanya and his associates would discuss Krishna for 5 to 7 days at a time. Prabhupada gave us a mission with so much wonderful service. He's given us sadhana, deity worship, and all these other things. But we cannot neglect to develop deep relationships with one another, conversing about Krishna, speaking about Krishna. Our talks together were pure Vrindavan Katha, but sometimes intertwined with all of it was always remembrances of Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would very intimately tell me different realizations he's had in his past throughout his life. It was very sweet. I can honestly tell you all that the most intimate, most loving, most pure relationship I've ever had with another human being, besides my relation with Prabhupada, was during those last 7.5 weeks with Bhakti Tirtha Swami. The love, the affection, the respect, the gratitude that grew between us, words cannot explain. But that's what Prabhupada is giving us. When Srila Prabhupada tells that he's giving us the association of devotees, this is really what it means. The gift that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj bestowed upon me, I am eternally grateful to him for that. his causeless mercy upon this very fallen soul. So he entered his Nirjan Bhajan and totally cut himself off from the world. Day and night, either discussing Krishna, hearing readings of Krishna, or hearing tapes. One of his favorite tapes that he played for a couple months were the CDs of the Vrindavan Yatra. He really much appreciated that. He cut himself off, except from his immediate caretakers, except from one person. One of his oldest, dearest, most intimate friends and god brothers, Satsvarup Das Goswami Maharaj. Because Satsvarup Maharaj was the first devotee that Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj worked under as his secretary. And he never forgot that. And another thing is this, that Satsvarup Goswami Maharaj is also in quite a physically ill condition for many years. So he and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, through visits and through telephone, really bonded in sharing their realizations, their experiences, encouraging and inspiring each other, and most of all, just sharing their love for Prabhupada and Krishna together. Yes, this was one of the most sacred and beautiful relationships I have seen. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would often tell me in confidence about his beautiful, loving discussions with Satsvarup Goswami Maharaj. They would speak on the phone very often. In New York City was Rath Yatra. Devotees from all over America and even people from all over the world to come for Jagannath Rath Yatra. And every year, one of the most sensational experiences of Jagannath Rath Yatra is Bhakti Tirtha Swami's kirtan. Every year in front of Jagannath's chariot, he would have his drum and microphone and he would lead kirtan and lead dancing, and hundreds of devotees would just be wild with happiness as Jagannath would smile. This was the first year in so long that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj could not come to Rath Yatra. In fact, I was supposed to go and come back, but just the day before Rath Yatra, he had a health crisis, and the doctor felt that he would probably leave his body within 1 to 2 days. So I stayed back. Maharaj could not go to Rath Yatra, and he didn't leave his body either. How Krishna just kept him going was something extraordinary. But I'll tell you something more extraordinary. Are you still awake out there? This is the longest Sunday feast lecture in the history of Radha Gopinath Temple. But it's the largest crowd also. After Jagannath Rath Yatra in New York City, the deities of Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra appeared, I believe it was a dream, to their head pujari and said that we want to go to Gita Nagari to see Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. So what could the pujari do? He put large, beautiful deities of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra in the back of a little van and drove about 5 hours to Gita Nagari.
We got a phone call that Baladev Subhadra Jagannath want to see Bhakti Tirtha Swami because he didn't come to them. They're coming to him. We'll be there later today. And they arrived right on time, right to the house Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was staying. They pulled up in the driveway and they opened the doors of the van to face out to the front door of the house. And all devotees from Gita Nagari came from all directions in the parking lot driveway. And Bhakti Tirtha Swami was lifted up from his bed, put on his wheelchair, and then carried outside the steps and brought right before Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra Mai. It was a beautiful scene. Even though he was really at very advanced stages, he led an incredibly beautiful kirtan and gave a talk. He remembered that time he went to see Jagannath in Puri and Jagannath allowed him in. He was experiencing such affection for the mercy of Lord Jagannath in his life. It thrilled the hearts of all the Vaishnavas. It reminded me of Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur. Lord Haridas Thakur could not go in to see Jagannath, so Jagannath would come out every day to see Haridas Thakur. But in those days, Lord Chaitanya just walked about 5-10 minutes to Siddha Bakula. But in this case, Jagannath came out and drove about 5 hours in a van to see his devotee. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj Ki! One day I got a phone call from a very wonderful devotee. Her name is Jyoti. She called from New Jersey and she said, "Your Brijabasi friends from Barsana are coming to America. Panditji, Narasingha Baba, Madan Mohan, Giridhar Lal, they contacted me. They really want to meet you." I said, "Well, I really would love to meet them, but I have to stay with Bhakti Tirtha Swami. I don't know what I can do. I cannot leave him now because he appears to be very close to his departure. I cannot leave him." About 3 days later, I get a phone call from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which is 45 minutes from Gita Nagari, the closest town to Gita Nagari. It was Panditji from Barsana, the prominent disciples of Ramesh Baba from Manmandir. Every year they go to America for about 3 months to do Bhagavad Katas and Kirtans to raise funds for restoring the holy place in Braj Bhumi. This was according to the schedule. At that particular time, they were doing Bhagavad Katha in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which was right of all places in America. So they asked if I would come to meet with them. I said, "I'll come." And then I asked Maharaj, because he was a Nirjan Bhajan. He wasn't meeting anyone except his immediate caretakers. I said, "Maharaj, would you like to meet these Brijabasis?" I said, they do beautiful Brijabasi kirtans. I really think you'll be really happy." And he just became ecstatic. He said, "Yes, will they come? Beg them, please. Will they come? Will they come?" I said, "I'll ask them." He was so excited. So I called him and I said, "What, my dearest friend, he's on the verge of dying. He would be so happy if you came to do kirtan for him."
They said, well, if it is your wish, we will come. I said, please. But you have to come to us first. I said, yes. So I drove to Harrisburg, and there was a kirtan, and there was a katan, and then there was prasad at somebody else's house. And I said, now let us go. So we went in my van, and we drove together and discussed Krishna all the way. And then when we arrived, we went into the room. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, according to the doctors, they felt that he would leave either that day or the next. And they came in the room, and Maharaj was so thrilled and asked them if they would chant. And Madan Mohan, Brijbasi, began singing so sweet, the glories of Srimati Radharani. And as soon as he started to chant, Maharaj went into hysterical, ecstatic weeping. Gopal, you were there? Have you ever seen him in that condition? He was wailing. Tears were pouring from his eyes. And he was literally, he was uncontrollably just wailing, crying intensely, continuously for about a half hour. As long as Madan Mohan was singing, he just was in ecstasy. It was so beautiful. Then Narasingha Baba sang, and when Madan Mohan was singing, Narasingha Baba was playing flute and Giridhara was playing the dolak. Yes? It was so beautiful. Maharaj was just beside himself, tasting the sweetness of Braj Ras. Yes? You were playing kartals. That was a beautiful moment. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, they sang for about an hour. About an hour they sang, and Maharaj was just profusely thanking them. He was so grateful. And his realization was, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, although he decided to leave his body in Gita Nagari, Vrindavan had come, Barsana Dham had come to Gita Nagari to shower him with Radharani's mercy through the most pure-hearted, wonderful Brijbasis. One day, he was very sick. It appeared he could leave that day very easily. It was a holy day. According to the Vaishnav calendar, it was Snan Yatra and also the disappearance day of Mukunda Dutt. I was alone in the room with Maharaj. I came to see him in the morning. And I told him, Maharaj, today is a very, very auspicious day. I said, please tell me. I said, today is the disappearance day of Mukunda Dutt. That is the younger brother of Vasudev Dutt. As soon as I said the name Vasudev Dutt, Maharaj uncontrollably was weeping. Uncontrollably weeping. I was holding his hand. With his hand, he took my head and pressed my head against his heart and kept it there, pressing very hard against his heart. And he was so much in spiritual emotion, the only words he could say was, Vasudev Dutt, Vasudev Dutt. He said, thank you. You've reminded me of Vasudev Dutt. He said, from the first time I ever heard the story of Vasudev Dutt, He became my hero. He became my role model. I tried to model my life around his compassion.
It was Vasudev Dutt that approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offered a prayer. He said, I have one exclusive desire that is in my heart for a very long time. I beg you to fulfill this desire.
When I see the fallen souls in this universe suffering due to forgetfulness of you, my heart breaks. Please grant me this benediction.
Let all the karma, let all the sins of all living entities throughout the universe fall on my head,
and let me suffer hellish conditions perpetually and give everyone liberation. That is my appeal to you.
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard Vasudev Dutt's prayer, he began to cry profusely. His limbs trembled. He could not even speak. Finally, after great difficulty, he spoke to Vasudev Dutt. He said, this is not astonishing that you are saying these words, because you are the incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. Because of Vasudev Dutt's compassion and willingness to sacrifice his life for the living beings, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am only Vasudev Dutt's man. I am his property. I have sold my life to Vasudev Dutt, and anyone he wants to sell me to, I am sold, because I am only his man. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Vasudev Dutt, it was as if he had 1,000 mouths. Because that is the Lord's mission for coming to this world, is to show compassion to all of his fallen children. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, his whole life, had such compassion and feelings for the welfare of others. When he came into contact with Srila Prabhupada, he understood, now I have the greatest thing, the greatest gift, the greatest benediction to dedicate my life to giving others. And when he heard the story of Vasudev Dutt, who's the pinnacle of selfless compassion, he was like the role model for Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. That day when I just mentioned the name Vasudev Dutt, he began to cry. He pushed my head against his heart repeatedly saying, Vasudev Dutt, Vasudev Dutt, Vasudev Dutt. Thank you, Maharaj. You have reminded me of Vasudev Dutt. Thank you. After that experience, he called his devotees and told them to do kirtan because he felt he was going to leave his body that day. For about an hour or so, devotees did kirtan. Beautiful, wonderful kirtans. And then he looked at the devotees and stopped the kirtan, and very humble, he said, today is an auspicious day, most auspicious day, because it is connected to Vasudev Dutt. I really thought I would leave my body today, but Krishna has kept me here, so you could all go back to your services now. Something wonderful happened. Just at about that time, some devotees came from Dallas. Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, one time years ago, he was walking down Juhu Beach, and in the sand, he found a very small golden deity of Krishna. And he had a murtiwala polish him. And the Murtiwala said he was pure gold.
And then the and they also said that that deity, not, I'm sorry, he wasn't pure gold. The Murtiwala said that this deity is at least 500 years old. And the queen of Jaipur heard about him finding this, and she made a Radharani deity out of pure gold for Krishna. And this became like an Ishtadev for Kamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. He traveled all over the world, always carrying these little deities. And when Prabhupada called him back home, back to Godhead, he kept the deities in the care of some of his devotees. And those deities were in Dallas. Another mystical thing happened. The head pujari of the Dallas temple and the caretaker of those deities, Padaduli Devi, who's one of Tamal Krishna Goswami's loving disciples, she had a dream where Tamal Krishna Goswami appeared to her and said, give the darshan of these deities to Bhakti Tirtha Swami. Now Dallas is about over 2,000 miles away. They came all the way from Dallas to Gita Nagari to give Maharaj the darshan of the deities. And next to the deities was a beautiful picture of Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Maharaj said, he came into the room, all the devotees assembled in his little living room, and there was a darshan for the deities. And afterward, Maharaj said to me, he said, I had said that I cannot leave till Tamal Krishna Maharaj comes to give me darshan. He has come today, so now I can go. One day, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, just very close to his departure, he wanted to take a walk. And he told his caretakers, pick me up, I want to walk. He was sitting on a chair then. They said, Guru Maharaj, you cannot walk. He said, but I want to try. I said, Guru Maharaj, you only have one leg, and the other leg has tumors in the knee. You can't put any pressure on it. You can't walk. Maharaj said, but I want to walk. Let me try to walk. And they didn't know what to do. And I happened to be at the room at that time. Now, he had one particular little wheelchair that didn't have a back. It had a high little seat, and his legs hung down. And I said, "Why? Maybe we could put him on that, because that's the closest thing to walking we can do." So they put him on that. And Maharaj said, I want to walk. And I said, Maharaj, would you like to do Govardhan Parikrama? He said, yes. We will do Govardhan Parikrama, because one of his most faithful, dedicated, beloved disciples is Brajalila Mataji and her incredible husband, Ekavir. They were the main caretakers for him for 9 continuous months. Now, Ekavir Prabhu and Brajalila Prabhu, they have a beautiful Govardhan Shila that they worship. And they kept that Govardhan Shila in Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's room. So I said, we can bring the Shila to the living room, put him on a table, make a nice decorated altar for him, and then we'll do parikrama around him, because one Shila is equal to Govardhan Hill. That's what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that's what Krishna told Sanatan Goswami when he was very ill and he could not do full parikrama. Do one Shila and it's full benefit of parikrama of Govardhan. So Maharaj was so happy. I said, should we do, Maharaj, Govardhan parikrama? And he was very internal that day. He was not speaking anything to anyone, hardly, but he just looked at me very serious and grave, and he said, yes. So we had Govardhan set up and Tulsi Devi next to him, and then we brought him out on his little wheeler, and soon everybody found out about it, and about a dozen devotees assembled, and we were just having
beautiful kirtan. It's all on videotape too, I think. We have beautiful kirtan again and again, around and around and around. Sri Giriraj Maharaj Ki. Maharaj was so happy. It was such an exciting event, having Govardhan Parikrama in Pennsylvania, USA. Some days after this, I got a phone call in the morning. It said, Maharaj is giving, he wants to meet all the devotees and give a talk. Now, this was the first time in a couple weeks that he had any type of public assembly because he was in his Nirjan Bhajan. Devotees gathered. His voice at that time was so faint, so weak. They had to put a microphone right to his mouth, and even then it was very difficult to hear him. But he was explaining about the intense pain he was undergoing. He was explaining how, because of that intense pain, it was not possible for him to even sleep at night. He went into much detail. Then he described what a great benediction it was. He said, because in my suffering, I could feel so much what other people go through when they suffer. And the more I can feel and understand other people's suffering, the more I can help them and serve them and pray for them. So again, even the most difficult sufferings, he was seeing it as a benediction for Krishna because it was a facility to deepen and increase his service to others. After that lecture in the morning, he was brought back into his room. His immediate caretakers were there. I was also there. And Maharaj looked at me, very grave. He said, Maharaj, you are coming with me. I am not leaving without you. At the end of his lecture to all the devotees, he concluded by saying, the chariot is coming for me and will soon take me away. Then he looked at me when he came back in the room where he stayed and said, Maharaj, you are coming with me. I am not leaving without you. There are two seats on that chariot, one for me and one for you. He said, I am not leaving this world unless I can take my Maha friend with me. He said, you are coming. And then he turned to his caretakers and said, we should immediately start calling his disciples and followers all over the world and tell them, prepare. Radhanath Swami is leaving with Bhakti Tirtha Swami. You have to accept it and you have to adjust to it. Tell them all that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is not going to leave without his Maha friend. And I said to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, Maharaj, you can take me in your heart with you. And he didn't say anything after that. So the rest, time will reveal. But that was a very, very deeply special gesture of affection that he bestowed upon me. One day,
just a few days before his departure from this world, Maharaj was hardly able to speak. By that time, the doctor said the cancer had reached the core of his bones, where painkillers can't even reach it hardly. He was in so much pain, his limbs were trembling. But he never cried due to pain. So we were having our Krishna Katha session. On this day, he was sitting on his chair, and I was sitting next to him holding his hand. And I was telling him about Vrindavan. We were discussing beautiful stories from Prabhupada's books, sharing realizations, but he could hardly speak. But I could see he was so intent to hear every word, to absorb himself totally whenever we spoke together. But on this day, because of the pain and because of so many other physical conditions, I could see he was really struggling to hear about Krishna. That was his determination. So I just started to chant the Maha Mantra. I said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare. He just looked at me with the most innocent, loving eyes. Just eyes of love for Krishna. And with such childlike devotion, we were chanting the mantra together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. I was just chanting, trying to serve him. But he was tasting the nectar of the holy name. I could see he was savoring the sweet sound of the name. He was absolutely absorbed in the holy name. As we chanted for about a minute, tears pouring from his eyes, making his clothes wet as he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then with, he picked up my hand with his hand and lifted it, and he kissed the back of my hand. First time anyone has ever done that to me in my life. After kissing the back of my hand, he just looked at me with such love of God in his eyes and said, amazing, amazing. And then he just took his head back and smiled. Meanwhile, his limbs were trembling in pain. There was this effulgent, spiritual smile just illuminating his face as he shook his head back and forth saying, wonderful, this is wonderful, how wonderful. And then he looked at me again with all sincerity and said, Maharaj, it doesn't get any better than this. Then he paused and continued, but still, it's getting better every day. Who in the world could speak from their heart with such joy in that condition. Only one who is truly tasting the nectar of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Many times during our talks, he expressed to me his very deep love and appreciation for all of you, the devotees of Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. He had such deep respect and appreciation for the different projects, for the spirit of the devotees, and for the example that you are unitedly trying to share with the world. He told me many times he was so proud of Radha Gopinath Temple. And he was especially very proud, very grateful to the devotees at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. He expressed that he considered it was one of the most important, significant projects in all of ISKCON. And wanted me to encourage all of you, please carry on and take this service with all sincerity. He was showering his innermost heart blessings on all of you. Just 2 days before he departed from this world, he called one of his caretakers and asked them to bring his latest book, Beggar 4, Die Before Dying. They brought it, and he said, Maharaj, I want to write a message in this book for you. I'm not sure, but it may have been one of the last things that he had written. Can I read to you what he wrote? I'm ashamed to read it, but only at Radha Gopinath Temple could I do such a thing. My dear brother, His Holiness Radhanath Swami, you have been such a constant sort. My dear brother, His Holiness Radhanath Swami, you have been such a constant source of divine inspiration for me. I remain eternally indebted to you. May we constantly remain locked up in each other's arms. I love you so much, and I am eager to see this love increase each year as we continue serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. With love, Bhakti Tirtha Swami. This beautiful message shows the kindness he manifested upon this most fallen soul. Soon after this, his vital signs were failing. It was inevitable that it was just a matter of hours till he would pass into the loving embrace of Srila Prabhupada. That night, according to his wish, I read to him the Gopi Gita from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Between verses, we would chant Maha Mantra for some time. And then about 1 o'clock in the morning, I slept in a van just outside his house for a couple hours. I was also very, very ill at that time. And early morning, his caretakers came and said that he could leave at any moment. So I sat at his bedside, and they contacted devotees from all over the area. And within a couple hours, there were hundreds of devotees from New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., from Detroit, Michigan, from all over Pennsylvania, from New Brindavan. That whole area of United States, Krishna kept him living in that body for 8 hours after they made the announcement. So everyone that wanted to come was present. It was a most glorious passing. Hundreds of devotees who all loved him more than they loved their own life, from the core of their hearts, were chanting the holy names to serve him and to express their affection. They kept a beautiful Govardhan Shila on his head. They were holding it on top of his head. Another Govardhan Shila was in his hand. They had beautiful garland of tulsi from the Panchatattva in Mayapur around his neck. There was another tulsi mandri garland from Mayapur, Lord Narasingadev, around his neck. They sprinkled dust from Braj upon his body. The Mahaprasad of Radha Damodar, the worshipable deities of Gita Nagari, were there. His own worshipable deities, Radha Shyam Sundar, that he traveled with, were just at his bedside. They sprinkled in his mouth and sprayed on his body water from the Ganga, water from Radha Kund, water from Shyam Kund, from River Jamuna, from 1,000 holy places. They had a beautiful photo of Srila Prabhupada just before him. In his hands were his sacred japa beads. As the devotees chanted in that most, most wonderful, beautiful, heartfelt, devotional atmosphere, after about 8 hours of such kirtan, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, Ghanashyam Prabhu, that loving service of Srila Prabhupada, passed into Srila Prabhupada's eternal embrace. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj achieved the eternal loving service at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar. His passing was so graceful, so sweet. Just, he was gone. Sangeeta Prabhu, a disciple of Prabhupada, who's a trained nurse, when his heart stopped beating, she announced to the devotees that he had gone back to Godhead. At that time, hundreds of devotees could be heard wailing and screaming and crying in separation from him. One little child, just a small child, was screaming. Screaming uncontrollably and rolling on the ground. And his father and the other devotees were so worried about him. Son, what's wrong? And he just was beside himself in grief. He said, Maharaj was my best friend. Who will play with me now? No one played with me like Maharaj did. Now I have no one to play with. This was Bhakti Tirtha Swami. He was the friend of everyone. To the children, he was their favorite playmate. To his godbrother's best friend. To his disciples, the most loving guide. He can adapt to whatever situation to conquer people's hearts and fill them with Krishna. After he passed, devotees were simply amazed. His body was radiating with peace, with love, with an unearthly tranquility. He just looked so absolutely satisfied. And no one had to do anything to his body to make it like that. It just was. His intimate caretakers performed abhishek. The sannyas mantras and samadhi mantras were painted upon his body. He was put on a palanquin where all the hundreds of devotees were waiting. There was an aarti performed for him at the steps of his home. Then there was a torchlight procession through the forests of Gita Nagari to the Radha Damodar temple, where he was given aarti. There was aarti to Prabhupada and then him, and then Prabhupada's garlands given to him. Aarti to Radha Damodar and then him, and Radha Damodar's prasad offered to his body. The prayers to the departed Vaishnavas were sung. Hundreds of devotees prayerfully circumambulated him and offered their loving respects. It was one of the most beautiful spiritual experiences to see so many devotees, literally from all over the world, who loved him so dearly, so grateful, offering their respects. To that spiritual warrior, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. His samadhi will be made in Mayapur beside Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, Sridhar Swami Maharaj, and Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj. His Pushpa Samadhi will be at Gita Nagari. It is a great loss to the world. Maharaj taught so much by his example. The Yuga Dharma is the chanting of the holy names. One time during our katha, Maharaj said to me that I'm afraid we have to end a little early because I haven't finished my rounds. It was about 6 o'clock at night. His caretakers told me sometimes, because of the medication and the pain and the condition he was in, sometimes it would take him hours and hours, sometimes 5-6 hours to finish his round, sometimes more, because he had to chant his round so attentively. I said to Maharaj, in your condition, you don't have to be in anxiety about finishing your rounds. Prabhupada will understand. And Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj said something that shook my heart. He said, since I took my vow to Srila Prabhupada, I have never one day missed chanting minimum 20 rounds. He said, and I will keep this up till the end of my life. As long as I have any capacity, I must finish my rounds. He said, I gave my word to Srila Prabhupada. It is my love for Srila Prabhupada to keep my word. He has given me so much. He has showered me with infinite mercy. The only way I could reciprocate is by pleasing him. And how can I please him if I do not keep my vow? He said, I have never missed a single round in my life, and I must finish my rounds today. That was his conviction. I was thinking of Raghunath Das Goswami, whose regulative principles were like the lines in stone. Our sincerity is tested when we are in very difficult situations, when things become very hard to do. And Krishna uses his most dear devotees to put them in those most difficult conditions to teach us what is the path of perfection, to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, so much of the mission of his life was to make devotees happy so that they could take shelter of the holy name, so they could feel shelter in the association of devotees. And for this reason, he so much emphasized and stressed the development of spiritual communities, exemplary spiritual communities with support systems that would aid and give shelter to people in spite of all difficulties or all situations. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj told us that he was always the servant of the Vaishnavas in ISKCON. He very much stressed to his disciples during those last days that in his absence, be loyal and faithful to ISKCON. He explained, even though he went through so many difficulties and even sometimes persecutions, he always remained loyal and faithful to ISKCON because he saw it was Prabhupada's mission. It was Prabhupada's offering to our Guru Parampara. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj would tell us that I'm always the servant of all the devotees. And don't think you can get rid of me so easy. You think that because I'm soon going to die that I'm not going to serve you anymore? He said, it's not like that. He said, when I go back to Godhead, my mission will be to make all arrangements to welcome all of you when you come. He said, you can know wherever Prabhupada may take you, I will always be praying for you and always be in your loving service. Before kirtan, I would like to
say one more thing about my experience with His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. The wonderful inspiration and dedication of His followers. His personal caretakers, Ekavir Prabhu, Rajalila Prabhu, Dhruva Prabhu Parijata Mataji, Brahma Muhurta Prabhu, Mangalarti Mataji, Gopal, Mahajan. These devotees were 24 hours a day for months and months at a months at a time, just giving their hearts, their souls, and their very lives to serving their spiritual master. Very difficult service. To see the person you love more than anyone in the whole creation in such a condition is heartbreaking. And simultaneously to take the responsibility for each and every one of his needs. Because from a physical point of view, Maharaj was helpless, but with grateful and pure hearts, they were always there for him. And at the same time, despite so much pressure, internally and externally, they were the most profoundly gracious, enthusiastic hosts and hostesses for every guest that may have came. I would like to thank them, to offer my deepest gratitude. Because just as their Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, set such an illustrious example of dedicating his life in a spirit of compassion to all living beings, in complete dedication to Sri Guru and Gauranga, they were showing by their example to the whole world a very, very high state of following in the footsteps of the great souls and being the servant of the servant of the servant. Thankless service from a physical point of view. Sometimes they would not sleep for days. But with so much care, with so much dedication. Perhaps someday they will listen to the recording of this lecture. It is my humble request that they could hear the appreciation of all of you by your enthusiastic chanting of Hari Bol. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Go Premanandi! I'm sorry if I went slightly over time. Would you like to escape and take prasad, or should we have some kirtan? Actually, Aarti's going on, so we can have. You all know how Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj loved enthusiastic chanting and dancing. In his honor, let us have a very, very enthusiastic chanting.